Thank you. So last time I began the proof of a theorem on hypervolicity of measure with maximal entropy. So first I will recall the theorem. So I was considering a compact Keller manifold. With dimension k and a neuromorphic map. Dominant. And we have assumed that when you look at the dynamical degrees, it looks like this. You have a dynamical degree which is strictly higher than the others. We saw, in fact, that when you have two dynamical degrees which are equal and higher than the other, then you have problem to construct measure of maximal entropy, and so we assume this. Okay, in this context, the theorem was the following. If you take mu an ergodic measure with full entropy, if the Lyapunov exponents are well defined, which means that this function is in L1, then the measure is hyperbolic. The measure is hyperbolic, and in fact you have estimates. You have S positive Lyapunov exponents, like this. And you have K minus S negative Lyapunov exponents, like this. So in fact, you control the number of positive and the number of negative Lyapunov exponents only with the cohomology. Okay, so I began this proof last time. So the proof is for the dimension 2 when you have two Lyapunov exponents. And there were two cases. So first, you can have D1, which is strictly higher than the others, or D2. Last time, we have done this case. In fact, only by using Ruel's formula when F is invertible. So this time, I would like to give the proof in this case. So I have a measure mu with entropy log D2. And the question is, so you take this theorem, you have S equal to 2 equal to K. So you have to see that K1 is higher than K2, is higher than 1/2 of D2 on D1. This is the question. Okay. So first, by using the Ruel's inequality, you have that this plus this is higher than the metric entropy, which is positive. So in particular, it implies that Q1 is positive. I recall that Q1 plus is the maximum of Q1 and 0. So in fact, you know that Q1 is positive. So now there will be two sub-cases. The first one is when you have two Lyapunov exponents which are equal. It means Q1 is equal to Q2. So in this case, I think that with real inequality and the concavity of the Dinnikov degrees, it's enough to prove this inequality. So I will do that. So first, the real inequality here will be only this. Because Q1 is equal to Q2, is positive, so you have this. So Q2 is higher than 1 over 4 log D2. And the question is this higher than 1 half of log D2 on D1? This is the question. So we do equivalence. This, I have to prove this inequality. This is equivalent to 1 half of log D1 higher than 1 over 4 log D2 and multiply. So this is equivalent to this inequality. And remember that this function is concave. This is the theorem due to Gromov, Kovansky, and Tessier, a very strong theorem. So if you apply this theorem, this is phi 1, this is 1 half of phi 2, you have that phi 1 is equal to phi 0 plus 2 divided by 2, so it's higher than 1 half of phi 0 plus 1 half of phi 2. And phi of the 0, this is only log d0, and d0 is equal to 1, so you obtain 0. So you obtain this inequality. You have phi of 1, which is higher than 1 half of phi of 2. Okay. So now, I will consider the other case. It's when Q1 is strictly higher than Q2. And the question is Q2 higher than this? Okay, so now I will call perhaps the definition of symmetric entropy, which is equal to log d2 here. It is this. For mu almost every x. So the mass of a dynamical ball is almost d2 power minus n. We have these estimates. So now I say that exactly like the proof of the real inequality that I've done, you can find n delta separated set of cardinality d2 power n such that the points in this set are good for Pessin theory. C'est les axes theorem and Pessin theory. So just I recall that good for Hausserl-Lebesgue theorem and Pécin theory, it's true on a set of mass 1. It's generic for the measure. True on lambda with mu on lambda equal to 1. I've done this for the Ruiz equative. Perhaps I recall with two words how we construct this. You start with a point in lambda. So you have the dynamical ball, the Bowen ball, and you know that the mass of this ball is very small. This is this. So of course I can find a point x2 outside this ball and in lambda. And because x2 is outside the first ball, the dynamical distance between these two points is higher than delta, because the ball is only the Bowen ball is only the ball with radius with center x1 and radius delta for the dynamical distance. Now the two balls have mass less than 2 times this. This is very small, so I can find a point x3 outside in lambda, and I continue. At the end, I obtain more or less this number of points, and all these points are in lambda, so they are good for Hausserl-Lebesgue theorem. Okay, so now, of course, I will apply Pécin theory. So I take one of these points. So I have x1, say x1, x capital N with n equal to this points, and I take one of them. So I have two Lyapunov exponents which are distinct, are not equal. So I know that I have two linear subspaces like that. Such that when I take an unit vector, I have that this growth, if V is E1, and the growth is given by K2 if V is in E2. Okay. So this is the definition of K1 and K2. So now I will consider around X in the complex direction E2 a disk of size this. And I will call this disk W. Okay, so here, if you are doing a dynamical system, it's not exactly this that you have to take. You have to take a part of the stable manifold of this size. But today I will do like that. So I start with this disk, and I will push forward this disk. So I have X. So W is in E2. I was in F of X. So I'm doing suppose that F is linear, and the action of E2 is given by EK2. I simplify the situation to give the ID. In fact. So you arrive on E2 or f of x, and the action here is given by Petit's theory by E2. The action on E2 is given by E2 at each step. So the size of the disk here is E this plus K2, because the action is given by E2. And I continue. I arrive on F2 of X and obtain a disk of size this plus 2K2. And this disk is in E2 of F2 of X. And I continue. So for example, I arrive in Fm of x, and I obtain a disk of size, you understand, this plus m k2 in E2 Fm of x. And I continue to Fn of x, this is the end. I obtain a disk of size E minus epsilon n plus K2 n. At each step, you multiply by E K2. It's given by Petit's theory. In fact, the main remark is that the diameter of this disk, when you push forward, is very small. Why? Because I take one of them. N. So the size at each step is given by this. And this is exactly like the so. I have this because, so it's a small computation. I can write this like this. This is non-positive because K2 plus is the maximum of K2 and the roots of K2 plus is higher than K2. This is non-positive, so you think that it's smaller than minus epsilon. And this is what I have wrote. Okay, so the diameter of the push forward of these stable manifolds of this disk are very small. Okay, so now I can summarize the situation. I have capital N points with N equal to T2 power N, and around each point I have a disk with size this for the each W, and such that the diameter of the push forward of this disk is small for each xi and m between 0 and n. And moreover, I'll call that these points are n zeta separated. So this is the situation. For the weird inequality, we had a similar situation, but with boxes, and we have done a calculus of volume. Here I will do a calculus of area because I have disk. So the area of the union of this disk is d2 over m, the number of disks, multiplied by the area of each one. So 2 plus n minus this. And so let me now take x equal to cp2. To simplify more the situation, I will use a global object. You can use local object, but it's more complicated. So I take CP2 now. So now I will take a projective line. I have this disk like that, and I have a projection. And if I choose well the projection, of course, I can suppose that the area of the projection of the union of this disk is higher than, let's say, 1/2 of this. This is, of course, an area with multiplicity. It's covering several times. So 2 plus. So you have this. Because when you compute the area in CP2, you add these objects. So Wirtinger. Okay, so it means, in fact, that we can find a point.
Sorry, so you pick just a random line?
No, I take a generic line such that the projection is good. Because if you take this line and you will tend to see, so I take a generic line.
Yeah, and then
I'm losing something, but very small. Because the area in CP2, you have to add the area of the projection on two lines, in fact. In C2. It's Wirtinger. Wirtinger? Yeah. So now you have a point here in this projective line, such that the fiber of the projection, which is a projective line, intersects a lot of times this disk. Of course, because you know the area of the projection, so if there is a point which is recovered, in fact, this number or more times. So you can find a projective line which is a fiber of the projection, such that the cardinality of the intersection like this is higher than B2N this, say, 3, 7. I remove the 1/2. Okay, because there is a point which is recovered this number of times, so there is a fiber which intersects the disk like that. Okay. So now the situation is the following. I have a projective line, L. I have these disks, for example. And I know that the number of intersections is given by this. The crucial fact, and it's an idea due to Newhouse, is that when you take two disks, for example, so xi and xj, you have intersection points, so yi and yj. If you are very lucky, of course, yj can be equal to xj, but you have to be very, very lucky. And I say that the distance between yi and yj is higher than delta over 2. So why? This is the crucial point. Why? Because remember that xi and xj are n delta separated. So there is a step such that the distance between fm of xi and fm of xj is higher than delta. So these two points are far from each other. We have this, we have this, and there is a distance higher than delta here. And now, so here it's W of xi, W of xj, the disk, and you can consider the push forward of this disk here. And we prove that the diameter of this push forward is very small. Okay? So now, if you look at fm of yi, it's a point here, fm of yj, it's a point here, the distance between these two points is higher than delta over 4 or something, 2, I don't know what you want. Delta over 2. Okay? Because the distance between these two points is higher than delta, these two push forward of disk are very small, so the distance between two points in each push forward is higher than delta over 2. Here the distance is it's very large between the points. The image are in a very small area of this point, very small area of this point of the fm of yi and fm of yj, the distance is I, delta over 2, something like that. These disks are very small, very small between, very smaller than delta over 4. Say. So the distance between these two points is higher than delta over 2. Well, so we approach. Let me summarize that what we have proved. We proved that there is a n delta over 2 separated set on L projective line. Okay, of cardinality, sorry, higher than V2 over N, E this. We prove this. Because we have this number of intersection points, and I prove that these points are n delta over 2 separated. If now you know that the cardinality of such n delta over 2 separated cell is smaller than b1 power n, so if this the cardinality of n delta over 2 separated set on a projective line is smaller than v1 power n, then you obtain that 2p than v1 over n is higher than v2 over n, this, and it gives you that 2q2 plus is higher than log v2 on v1, and this is exactly that you wanted. So in fact, to finish the proof, we have to prove the if this. So I won't give the proof, I will give only the idea because it's a very technical point. I remember that the topological entropy of the map is smaller than this. By Gromov, Dean, and Siboney. So it means that the topological entropy of the map is bounded by above by the cohomology. Here, you want to bound by above the topological entropy on the projective line. Because the topological entropy on the projective line is precisely this number. So if you know how to bound by above this, you will have a bound by above of this cardinality. But now you are on the projective line. So the topological entropy, exactly like this, F is on X here, is bounded by above by the action of the cohomology on the projective line. And this action is given by D1. So, by using the same ideas, it's technical because there's a lot of work when you deal with meromorphic maps, you have to regularize currents, the ideas of Dean and Siboney. But it works, you can, by using these same ideas, to bound by above the topological entropy on the line by the action of the cohomology, which is given by D1. And so this is exactly that.
Sorry, I'm a bit lost. I mean, the line, the unit sounded like being invariant by F or something.
No.
No? How do you define them?
I define this exactly like that. The maximum of cardinality of n delta separated set on the line. And I take an asymptotic of that.
If
you work in higher dimensions, there will be a maximum of log dq for q smaller than the dimension or something like that. And after, by using the concavity or some ideas like that, you can obtain the inequality. Okay. So that's all for this proof. So let me recall that now, so the conjecture, the Phelan gauge conjecture, is that there exists a measure ergodic with a measure mu entropy equal to log ds. So now when we have that, we know that this measure is hyperbolic. So you understand that this is the main goal actually. In this conjecture, you can distinguish two parts. There exists means the construction and the computation of the entropy. There are two parts. So first, for the construction of the measure, there you have the dimension 2, where the main tool is a pluripotential theory. Used by Fornes, Siboney, Bedford, Smiley, and others to prove that you have equilibrium measure. And you have the dimension higher than 2, where now there is a new tool due to Dean and Siboney, which are superpotentials. So I will come back on this point at the end. So you can distinguish, in fact, these two dimensions. Now, for the entropy, for the computation of the entropy, you can distinguish the dimension 2, where there is an approach due to Bedford, Lubitsch, and Smiley. So there is a method due to Bedford, Lubitsch, and Smiley. Which use, in fact, elimination, laminar currents. So, in fact, you prove that some currents are laminar, and after you are doing dynamics on these leaves. So, this is this method, and this method has been used for other people, like Diller, Dujardin, and Gage, for example, to prove that in dimension 2, some for generic math, you have a measure of maximal entropy. Now, for the dimension higher than 2, I will focus on this case today. In fact, there is a first case. It's when f is holomorphic. So I would like to describe this case first. So now I assume that I have the dynamical degree. I don't suppose that there is one strictly higher than the other. And in fact, when f is holomorphic on a compact complex manifold, in fact, you know that there is a measure of maximal entropy. You know that, but you have to use three theorems, which are true for in a very large context, and they are coming from real dynamics. The first one is Yomdin's theorem. Yomdin's theorem gives immediately that the topological entropy of the map is equal to log ds. So it's higher than log ds, and by using Gromov bound, you have that it's equal to log ds. Yomdin's theorem is the theorem true for infinity maps on the Riemannian compact manifold. It's a very larger context. So this is the first theorem. The second one is the variational principle, which is true for continuous map on compact metric species, which is the following. The topological entropy is the supremum of the metric entropy. So now you know that you have measured with metric entropy as close as you want than log ds, but here this is a supremum, it's not a maximum. So you have not the measure of maximal entropy. If you want the measure of maximal entropy, you have to use a third theorem due to Neuhaus, which gives that this function is upper semi-continuous. So now, if you use this three theorems, we have measure with entropy as close as you want than log ds, it's upper semi-continuous, and so you obtain the measure of maximal entropy. But you have to use three theorems. Okay, let me just say that by using only these both theorems, Yomdin's and Varshina principle, Bedford and Smiley proves that the equilibrium measure of an Enon map has full entropy. There is another method by using only these two theorems. Okay, so now when F is meromorphic, and now it's a joint work with Gabriel Vigny from Orsay. Call the context, I consider a compact Keller manifold with dimension K and a meromorphic map dominant. I have the dimensional degrees, and in fact, I won't assume that there is a degree strictly higher than the others. So of course, it will be necessary to add a hypothesis, because we saw that there are counterexamples for the construction of the measure of maximal entropy in this context. So this is the settings. So in fact, with Vigny, we quantified Yomdin's theorem, the rational principle. We quantified the Bedford-Smiley's approach that they have done for Enon map, and we produce a criterion in order to bound by below the entropy of measure. So in fact, we have a meromorphic map. So there is an indeterminacy set. When you are very close, the derivatives are very high. It's not C infinity, but if you quantify this problem, then you can produce a criterion in order to bound by below the entropy of measure. So let me describe this criterion. So more precisely, so just I will call this notation that I introduced in the beginning of the first talk. So I consider this sequence of probabilities. So it's a little technical, but it's an explicit sequence push forward this divided by the mass of this. I consider this explicit sequence of probabilities. So you can see that this is a well-defined sequence of probabilities. Here I divide by the mass of this. In all known situations, take a NOMAP, endomorphism of CPK, what you want, in all known situations, if you take L equal to S, which is S the highest. DS is the highest in category, then mu n converges to the measure of maximal entropy. Full entropy. Full entropy means log DS, the good one. So if you take a NOMAP or holomorphic endomorphism of CPK or what you want, in fact, you always obtain the good estimate. So this is a good sequence that we have to consider. So now the criterion with Vigny is the following. If there exists a subsequence of this sequence of probability, so mu psi of n, which converges to mu. So we have always such subsequence because we are on a compact metric space. But with a good convergence against this function, so I is the L-terminus set. So it means that you can see this function as a continuous function for the convergence, in some sense. Then the metric entropy is bounded by below. By log DL. Okay, and just a remark, if I is empty, if F is holomorphic, then take this identically equal to 1, so that, in fact, this convergence is always true. Okay, so you see that I don't take necessarily L equal to S. I can take L equal to S, the highest dynamical degree, but I can use this theorem for to construct other measures, if you want. So this is the criterion, and we have applications of this criterion. Otherwise, we wouldn't be very interesting. So first, I think it's interesting if F is holomorphic. Why? Because you take the explicit sequence mu n with L equal to F. You take a subsequence which converges, you have always, because you are on a compact metric space. Then this is always satisfied because there is no intermediate set, and you obtain a measure of maximal entropy. You have not to use Yomnitz theorem, Bessemer principle, Newhouse theorem. You have an explicit measure of maximal entropy because you say it's upper semi-continuous, but you don't have exactly the measure. Here you have an explicit sequence. You take any limit and you obtain the measure of maximum entropy. Second application is for generic birational map of CPK. So generic means, in fact, outside a pluripolar set of birational map. For this map with Vini, we proved that there exists a measure of metric entropy log ds, of full entropy. For the existence of the measure, we use superpotentials. It's a theory for high dimension. And for the computation of the metric entropy, we use the criterion. Okay. So this is an application of the criterion. Of course, after we proved some properties for this measure, we proved that this measure is mixing, hyperbolic, and other things, but it could take too many time to explain this, so I prefer to give only that. And the last remark that I would like to mention is that you can apply this criterion for not compact scalar manifold, but for a complex compact manifold. So there are generalizations to compact, say, Hermitian manifold. But in this case, the dynamical degrees, we don't know that this converges, because it's true on compact scalar manifold by using Dean-Sibonis theorem. So you have to change DL by this. Where psi n is the subsequency. Okay, I finish. Thank you very much.